Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm excited that we're launching into our post-Easter sermon series, our spring series entitled, Want to Touch the Sky? Learn to Kneel. This series is going to be very practical in nature, seeking to enhance our life of prayer, our connection, our talking with the divine. Along with being practical, I hope that this series may prove to be motivational for those of us who may struggle to pray or consider ourselves novices. Just, I don't even know how to begin a habit of life, a habit of heart, such as daily prayer. Well, if that's you, if you struggle with daily prayer, you've had some starts and some stops and just doesn't feel like you're moving along in this part of your spiritual life, I've got great news for you. Because when you think about Jesus and the first disciples he called, Peter, James, John, Simon the Zealot, Judas, Matthew, all the rest, we get a sense that Jesus didn't choose the deepest of souls to be his first followers. Someone might push back. Well, Doug, I mean, how do you know that? Well, when you think about the stories of the disciples' squabbles, their doubts, their spiritual fumbles, that's enough evidence right there. But more, this is my case to make, that the disciples struggled with prayer like you and me struggle, that they were novices, because we have one beautiful story in the Gospels, in Luke, when the novices, the rookies, I'm so grateful they were brave enough to raise their hand and ask our master, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Because of that question and Jesus' answer, we have the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed a moment ago, and many of us pray every day of our lives. So I got good news. If you're new to prayer, struggle with prayer, consider yourself a novice, this practical series hopefully will help. And for those in our beloved community who are a little further down the road when it comes to prayer, I hope that this series will add some spice, will enhance the regular prayers that keep you in constant contact with the Holy One. So with that set up, let's jump right in and consider our first topic of prayer, prayers of praise, or incorporating praise of God into the prayers that we speak. First, let's begin by clearly stating what prayers sprinkled with praise of God is not about. I've noticed a pattern recently in relationship to my youngest son. I won't say his name because part of our contract years ago, the union contract, is if I say their name, I owe them a $5. So this would be $15 with three sermons this weekend. So I'm just going to leave it my youngest son. My youngest son leads a very full life. He goes to school. He plays sports. He's active with SWAT, our student ministries, loves Pastor Dave. He also has a part-time job. And he is paid for chores. He has two sources of income. Well, I've noticed recently that my youngest son has an issue that many of us have, that at the end of the week, he has more wants than he actually has money to provide for. So I've noticed, and it's been usually Friday evenings or Saturday afternoon, that suddenly my youngest son will come up from behind me and throw his arms around me and say, Dad, have I told you how much I love you lately? Or, Dad, you are just so awesome, man. I just love you. I know what's coming next. It's the ask. Dad, can I have 10 bucks to hang out at the Tropical Smoothie or Sylvania McDonald's and give a buck or two to the guy that's driving? You see, friends, we've probably unconsciously picked up within because we hear so many prayers, like, for example, the pastoral prayer. Often the prayers we hear in church or we see written in liturgy, often the first words of prayer are praise of God. So maybe we've unconsciously thought to ourselves, you know what? It makes sense to praise God in order to grease the skids here. Feed his ego, and then I'm going to make the ask for God to get involved with my problem, my need, or the need for grace if I'm going to confess. Friends, the triune God you have come to worship today has no ego need for praise. God is the only being that is sufficient unto God's self. You see, friends, we praise God. We pray prayers of praise because we need praise. We need to offer this. And let me tell you why. First, I wonder, would anyone argue with the notion that as human beings, we tend to be selfish by nature? Anyone want to argue that as part of the human condition, that we're pretty self-centered a lot of times? We spend a lot of time in our own heads, thinking about our own issues, our own wants, our own challenges. And here's the problem with this, selfishness, is that self-concern is a heavy, heavy gravity. It's like Jupiter's gravity. It weighs you down. If you want to touch the sky, if you want to connect with the one who is transcendent, the Holy One, you need to escape this gravity. You see, if I begin my list with, this is a business meeting with God, I'm going to reach into my pocket, and here are the three things I need God to get involved in. I'm already weighed down. I'm not touching the sky. But when I begin with praise, I understand that the beginning of prayer and the end of prayer is all about God. When I begin with words of praise, sharing my heart, worshipful heart with God in prayer, I'm reminded that not only my prayer begins and ends with God, but my life, the universe, all of it begins and ends with God. Want to kiss the sky? Learn to kneel and let your first words be words of praise so that you can get out of yourself and put your focus, turn your heart where it needs to turn, the God you're seeking to communicate with. And then secondly, why is praise really the foundation of all prayer? Not only does it get us out of our own head, but praying words of praise immediately give us the correct perspective when it comes to the challenge that we're praying about. Immediately, we receive an answer to prayer, particularly if we have a worry or stress, when we begin with praise rather than the problem. A woman once came to G. Campbell Morgan and told him, "I only take small things to God because I don't want to worry him with the big things." Dr. Morgan replied, "Sister, anything you bring to God is small." Prayers of praise immediately place your challenge in proper perspective. All of the problems, all of our challenges, all of our needs, when you hold them up to the vastness of the God we've come to encounter today, they're seen in their proper lights. God is sufficient to deal with this. So many of the texts for this series will be coming from the Psalms. The Psalms are the ancient prayer book for both the synagogue and church. Psalms as a collection, there's 150 of them. They're right in the middle of your Bible. They're all prayers. And the vast majority of the Psalms are ones like the one Cindy just read for us. Prayers of praise. Not only are the vast majority of Psalms prayers of praise, but the author who composed most of the prayers was David, King David. And David's story is such a human story. David, of course, is a dynamic mix of sinner and saint. When it came to the big Ten Commandments, sometime in David's story, he had checked the block of breaking most of those commandments, including adultery, and yes, even murder. Yet at the same time, David, sinner and saint, he was considered a man after God's own heart. This just struck me. David, so much of how both Jews and Christians pray is a result of these Psalms, is the result of David's prayers. So today, if you feel in any way unworthy, today you feel that you've screwed up to the point where God's patience has run out for you, if you feel that there is no way for you to have a significant spiritual impact in the church, in the world, in your family, anywhere, I want you to think about this. It was David, King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, who have shaped the way that we pray, generations of Jews and Christians. God indeed is slow to anger and abounds in gracious mercy. So, back to David. More than just writing these prayers, David was the king of Israel. And David's story was a story of constant problems, plagued by problems, leading that nation. For example, for David, David at every turn had some enemy that wanted to bring him down and knock him out. Often it was the enemies around Israel, often bigger nations than Israel, who wanted to come, knock out David, knock out the kingdom, invade. He had to deal with that. Israel was constantly at war, every year at war. But then there were other enemies that David had to deal with. The internal ones, the ones in the palace, including his own family. His own son wanted to take his life. David's life was a crucible of pressure, daily pressure. Some of his problems were a result of his choices. Others were beyond him. But let's just say that David's life makes the Game of Thrones look tame. Knowing how stressful David's daily existence was, if I was in David's shoes and I were writing my prayers that would one day shape both the synagogue and the church, he didn't know that, of course, then. If I was David in his stressful situation, my prayers would be real simple, short, and sweet. God, help! Help save me! Help deliver me! Help with this! Help with that! But not David. Most of his prayers are prayers of praise in the midst of the pressure cooker. Let me read for you again 145, a staple Davidic prayer of praise using the Message, Eugene Peterson's translation. David prayed, "I lift you high in praise, O God, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stand in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is infused with grace." Now, we can only, at this moment, imagine, what was that day like when David got up to write 145? What challenges was he facing at that very moment? Talk about a deep soul. Talk about someone who is grounded in their life with the living God. David was able to set aside the challenges, turn his focus where it needed to be turned, to God, and he prays. I believe what kept David sane, what kept him on his throne until his death, was his ability to understand that in the light of the God he knew, his problems were always manageable. That's why we praise, friends. That's why we praise. So finally, how does one incorporate praise into one's prayers? How do I do this? Well, when you stand maybe tonight or kneel or sit in the comfortable place where you often talk to God, why not simply employ the gold standard, the Psalms, into your praying? You can allow David and the other psalmists to help you articulate your heart, turn your heart towards God before you reach into your pocket for the list of needs. If you do that, you don't need to read an entire psalm. You might just read a few verses. If you're a novice, please do not start with Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, over 100 verses. Don't start there unless you take one verse a day. But let the psalmist help you articulate your praise. That's the clearest, simplest way. Another option is when you kneel to pray tonight, to reach, touch the star-filled sky, you can focus on one of God's attributes and then offer your own word of praise in response to who God is. Well, you may want to jot this down if you ask yourself, well, what are God's attributes? Well, here's a list of 7, and they're all P words. So if you want to write it down, that's fine. First, you can praise God for God's position. God's position in relationship to you, me, the universe. God is transcendent, above it all, yet God is immanent, closer than the next beat of your heart, oh so close. God's spirit infuses all of creation. You can simply praise God for his position. Secondly, you can praise God for God's power. Think of the bang that began the universe. That's power. Think about the Exodus story that we just sang about. Fire from heaven for Elijah, the courage of prophets to speak, the resurrection that we just celebrated last weekend. Talk about God's power. Pentecost in a few weeks when we celebrate the Holy Spirit falling upon a group of frightened disciples behind a closed door, causing them to push it open and share Jesus with the world. That's power. You can praise God for that power. Praise God for God's personality. Think of his character. Love. God is love. Compassion. Truth. Eternally faithful. God is holy, gentle, giving, and the list goes on and on. Simply praise God for her personality. Preeminence. Preeminence. So that's today's 25-cent theological word. What does preeminence mean? Well, in the Bible, whenever you see the word glory or majesty, that's about preeminence. What in today's vernacular, it's really simple. God is awesome. God is awesome to God's self, and everything that God does is awesome. You need a quick sprinkling of praise in your prayer. God, you're awesome. I trust that. Provision. God is like a parent, is a parent, who provides for our daily needs, our daily bread, daily grace, daily courage. He provides for our needs, not necessarily our wants, of course. As one famous English theologian once wrote and sang, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. Presence. Praise God for God's presence throughout Scripture. The word, fear not, fear not. Why? Because I am with you, even to the end of the age. And then finally, pray and praise the Holy One for the Holy One's protection that God provides. God is a protector of his people. And that's important for us to note, particularly when we remember what happened in our baptism, when we were in our confirmation, when we renounced the spiritual forces of wickedness, injustice, and evil in the world, and made a commitment to the kingdom. Our struggle today is never against flesh and blood, children made in the image of God. But it is against oppression and powers and principalities and injustice. We pray for God's protection as we continue to march forward together. trusting that injustice is living on borrowed time, because the kingdom of God is coming, and we are working for it at this very moment. So, seven P's, seven characteristics of God that prove to be a fertile soil so that you can offer the fruit of praise. So, I said this series is going to be very practical. So, let's end our message today by praying a prayer of praise together. Let's go back to the list, the seven P's. Let's, for this prayer, choose to praise the triune God for power, divine power. So what we're going to do is praise God for God's power. And then after we've set the stage, after where our focus is where it needs to be, on God and out of our own heads, then we slip into our pocket and we ask God to get involved. We ask God to move and answer a prayer for us. So let's give it a shot. Let's pray together a prayer of praise. Let us pray. Almighty God, I praise you this morning. Praise you for your power. Yours is the power that birthed this entire universe. Yours is the power that opened the sea for slaves to escape Pharaoh's oppression. Yours is the great, great power on full display when you open the grave of Jesus Christ, raising him, and now raising all of us to life eternal. By your mighty hand, sin and death are now smashed under your feet. I praise you as the one and only Almighty. Into your strong yet gentle hands, I now place this concern, which has me tied up in knots inside. It's in your strong and yet so gentle hands now. I trust that in an unexpected and magnificent way, your power will be at work to deal with this issue. I can now breathe, trusting that though I am weak, you are so very strong. Oh God, as a display of your power, help me now to stand and walk possessing a new peace and a new confidence. You've got this, Father, and you've got me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.